Donald Rill, number 11. I'm going to take you back to our chronological sequence of your air service during the First World War, back to April 1917. This was the period after your service with Engadine ended, and you were posted to Killingholm for special tests with the new Sopwith camels. Could you describe for me exactly what the purpose of those special tests were?
What mainly arose for this, I was posted to Killingholm because Major Gordon, who was now Group Captain Gordon, RNAS, was in command in the Aegean of what was then called Number 2 Squadron. It was really a large wing. Wanted to get me out there because the new Sopwith Camel had just been produced in fairly small numbers by the Navy. It was a naval plane. It was quite the best fighter of the war ever produced. And he wanted me, they were going to get a few allocated out there, and he wanted to get me out there because I had a lot of practice with the Sopwith Snider seaplanes, which are a very similar little plane to fly. So he applied to get me out there, and I went to Killingholm, which was an RNA station on the Humber, to do some ordinary duties at Killingham while I was there, but plus some rather sort of confidential experiment tests on the new Sopwith Camel from another airfield.
Were these just trials of the aircraft, or was there a special application?
Oh, it was what you might call pilot's evaluation, because the machine was designed by Sopwith for the RNAS, but it was designed to the requirements of RNAS pilots, led by Christopher Draper and one or two others, Butler and one or two others, I forget. I should think there'd be about six of us concerned altogether. I was only consulted in a small way, but there was a question of rapidity of control, size of tail surface and so on, and I think I liked the plane very much and did carry out those tests, so that I think I was at Killingholm for
3 months.
Was I? April to April, July 17, and then when I went out to the Aegean...
Could you describe the tests for me and give me your evaluation of this aircraft?
To my mind, it was perfect. I thought it was the most perfect aircraft.
What struck you about her as being extraordinarily good?
Oh, well, because she was so quick to control, far, far quicker than the Snider Cup Sopwith. And quick to turn, good performance, wonderful maneuverability. I mean, for a dogfight, the perfect machine, twin machine guns, Sopwith copper interrupter gear with the machine guns firing through the propeller, and all the weights concentrated very close together, engine, guns, pilot, tank, everything very close, whereas most planes had long engines and weight that were slower to maneuver, and very small tail fin and rudder, tail plane, which didn't slow down your movement. It wasn't a machine that you wanted to be ham-handed with, but she, in my opinion, the Sopwith Camel was the finest fighter ever designed by the hand of man.
Do you remember what kind of tests you put her through? Can you recollect them? No? Now, I believe you were involved in providing air support for the Allied armies which were advancing against the Bulgarians at the end of September 1915. Could you tell me what you can remember of the part you played in the air activities?
Yes, we had an RNAS airfield, a very efficient little airfield at Stavros, right on the flank of the Struma front, which had been there for several years, and we'd been giving the army support there for quite a long period, and also the French. It had been going on for quite a long while, and towards the finish, I was only able to join in very sporadically. Keep it in mind that I had been very largely mobile before that, escorting bombers and working from Stavros, Mudros, Limbros, even Mytilene, Thasos, the various island aerodromes they had.
Yes.
The Bulgarian thing was right at the end of September, by which time I was really in charge of Imbros, but I did manage to get up for a look at it, because the Bulgarian army was in full retreat during the last... We didn't know they were going to collapse so quickly, but at last the British army had got them on the move. They were retreating through the Rupel Pass, and I'm afraid we caught the poor blighters very much on the hop, because it was a... been a key pass. They'd held it through the entire war and we could do nothing about it, but once they started to retreat through it, they were in a horrible trap because they were shooting them up from low down.
Could you describe that scene for me in a little more detail?
Well, it's simply a matter of chasing after motor cars, transport lorries, bullock wagons, all the transport they had, marching troops in a narrow valley, and the no option but to scramble up a steep side on the ones on the left-hand side or fall over a cliff on the right, and I'm afraid they were doing both. And it wasn't at all a pleasant sight. Nobody enjoyed it, but the fact remains you get an army like that because Johnny Bulger was a good fighter. You got him on the run. You had to keep him on the run. And it was very largely done with the sop with camels shooting them up like mad from low down.
Was there enemy air activity, or did you have a clear sky?
No, the Germans had got folded up long before that. They were concentrating on the Western Front. They knew that the end was nigh for them, too. We'd pretty well chased the Germans out of the Balkans some time before that.
Now, about a month later, at the end of October, I believe you were also involved in an incident associated with the Turkish surrender as well. Could you describe that for me?
Yes, it was a relatively friendly incident. And when we got word, just 1 month after the Bulgarians had collapsed, on the 31st, early in the morning of the 31st of October, that Turkey was going to surrender officially at midday of the 31st, I immediately sent a signal to the group captain, request permission to carry out one more very gentle raid on Chernak. That was on the Narrows at the Dardanelles, more or less of a gesture raid than anything else, just to finish the war in style. And he sent back a signal saying something, regret permission not granted, something of that sort. So I had to disappoint the chaps and say they weren't going to have a little raid. We wouldn't have dropped very much. I expect we'd have dropped some confetti or something. And so I said, well, I've been out here a lot longer than any of you here, so I'm going to take the CO's privilege and be the last man over. So dug out my sop with a camel and timed it rather neatly just to... I thought I'd like to cross European and Asiatic Turkey just before midday to sort of be the last hostile over both before the war stopped. Did a very slow, gentle dive into Nagara Fort, where all the nasty anti-aircraft stuff used to come from, just at the Narrows, and it was really a beautiful sight. It was a very neatly kept fort. The entire garrison turned out inside their quarters, sprang to attention, presented arms, got a terrific salute from the officer in charge, and I was so busy taking his salute I very nearly knocked the flagpole down with my port wing. That really happened.
This parade was for your benefit?
Well, I came in. They knew they were surrendering. For 10 minutes, that would be about 10 minutes to 12. And they knew very well I was just coming over on a friendly visit. If they'd been unfriendly, I'd have let them have it. But they weren't unfriendly. They came out, presented arms and saluted, so I saluted them. And there was no flag flying on the pole. They'd hold that down. They were playing safe. And I was so busy taking the salute, like, that, as I say, I very nearly knocked the flagpole down. However, it was a very friendly occasion, and then just circled the fort, went fast down the straits, so as to reach Cape Helles, where the famous old River Clyde was beached. She was still there, the rusted hulk where the troops first landed at the Dardanelles. gave her a suit and left her at 12:05, and sort of to establish a claim of being the last hostile plane to be over both European and Asiatic Turkey, just for the fun of the thing. Came back as rapidly as I could to the airfield at Imbros, came in, made a beautiful landing on a bit of the field that had recently been filled in. The ground was soft, ran into the soft ground, and before you could say knife, I very neatly turned the camel ass up with care. Very gently. Intense joy of the entire squadron, who were just about hugging one another with glee at the sight. Then I came out, had a good look. Two of my mechanics were nearly in tears, came down and pulled the machine onto her wheels again. There wasn't a wire stretched, and the propeller wasn't even broken, so no harm done. It wasn't an expensive trip at all.